Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. This is actually, brothers and sisters, such a privilege for me to be able to share with you the faith that God has given to us, to share it and to strengthen it. And I know I'm on the same kind of theme as I've been the last 2 days, but it's because we've all fallen into a I have to go here, and I have to go there, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I don't have time for anybody else or anything else. And there are times in our life when that's really true. But there are times, too, when we use it as an excuse not to reach out. Well, I don't know what I would do. Just go and ask them. You know, do they need help? It sounds so simple, and yet people can hardly get it out of their mouths. And God wants us to be His servants, to be ready to do what He asks us, and that expresses our faith. So faith is certainly going to Mass every Sunday, yes, that includes that, and the most important part of worshiping our Lord. But what happens day to day is just as important. I don't mean you have to take on all these works, but something to show your love for God. We read now from the second book of Maccabees, Chapter 7, it happened that 7 brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. Most admirable and worthy of everlasting remembrance was the mother who saw her 7 sons perish in a single day, yet bore it courageously because of her hope in the Lord. Filled with a noble spirit that stirred her womanly heart with manly courage, she exhorted each of them in the language of their ancestors with these words, "I do not know how you came into existence in my womb. It was not I who gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed. Therefore, since it is the Creator of the universe who shapes each man's beginning, as He brings about the origin of everything, He in His mercy will give you back both breath and life because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of His law." Antiochus, inspecting insult in her words, thought he was being ridiculed. As the youngest brother was still alive, the king appealed to him, not with mere words, but with promises on oath to make him rich and happy. If he would abandon his ancestral customs, he would make him his friend and entrust him with high office. My goodness, brothers and sisters, he's holding out all kinds of enticements. And yet, brothers and sisters, when the youth paid no attention to him at all, the king appealed to the mother, urging her to advise her boy to save his life. After he had urged her for a long time, she went through the motions of persuading her son. In derision of the cruel tyrant, she leaned over close to her son and said to him in their native language, "Son, have pity on me, who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, to look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things, and in the same way the human race came into existence. Do not be afraid of this executioner." You see the nobility in that woman? Can you imagine a mother encouraging her son not to die, but to be faithful to God? That's what she's asking him, to be faithful to God. "Do not be afraid of this executioner. Be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them." She had scarcely finished speaking when the youth said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command. I obey the command of the law given to our fathers through Moses. But you, who have contrived every kind of affliction for the Hebrews, you will not escape the hands of God." That's a pretty, pretty powerful expression of faith. And not all of us, I was going to say, have that opportunity. I don't call it exactly an opportunity, but It is a way to heaven. If God places you in circumstances similar to this, be faithful to God. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Yes. Yes. Psalm 17. That's what we want. My steps have been steadfast in your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, but I in justice shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence. What a psalm, brothers and sisters. Psalm 17. When your glory appears, my joy will be full. That's what we're waiting for. The fullness of God and his joy, his happiness, his peace. That's what we're waiting for. So while we're here on this earth, we need to reach out, grow ourselves absolutely in faith, but also reach out to the needs of others, as I've said before. It's so important, brothers and sisters. And somehow, we really haven't always done that second part. So I want to encourage you once again. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 11 to 28. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. And so he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had been given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. And the first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. And then the second came, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. And to this servant too, he said, you take charge of 5 cities. And then the other servant came and said, sir, here's your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief because I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down. You harvest what you did not plant. He said to him, with your own words, I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return, I would have collected it with interest. And to those standing by, he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now as for those enemies of mine who do not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, God loves us more than we can even begin to imagine. He's simply asking us to use his gifts as he gave them to us to be used. What have we done with our gifts, our gold coins? And if you say, I don't have any gifts, ask God. There may be a way that God wants you to help another. There may be a gift or a skill you have that God wants to use for the need of another as well as the other needs of people. Think about it. God loves you. He will never abandon you. Even when you turn away from him, he waits for you. He loves you. And brothers and sisters, there's so much, especially in this land, so much we have been given. Our lives, externally, our cities, our counties, our towns. We've been given a place to live. We have, yes, it costs us, but there are ways of reaching what we need. Many countries, people are living in absolute, utter poverty. They have nothing, and very little will be given to them. Brothers and sisters, look at us here in the U.S., in the countries of Europe, many countries, France, etc., all of Europe there. We're free. We can reach out and serve others. And just saying, oh, I'm satisfied now, then give something right out of what you thought you absolutely needed. Pray. Ask God. Because that's what he wants of us. He wants us to receive what he has for us, and then he wants us to give it to others. He wants us to give something to others, maybe our time, maybe our talent, maybe our energy, but he wants us to reach out and need. Our prayer is certainly a key place in which to pray for the needs of others. This is the kind of thing that God wants of us. Many people are generous. I have no doubt that there are. But there are a lot of us, too, who kind of our work I have to do, what I have to do is fills my day. I don't have time for anybody else. Think of that through. You are busy. I know that. Are you too busy? Is there something you should cut out? If there's not, if you really are tied up and very full, then pray. Pray. That, of course, should be the first thing we do anyway, but always pray for the needs of others. That through your prayers, God may pick out someone else who can do this for them that you are not able to do. But brothers and sisters, what we need to do is stop looking so much on the inside, so much on the inside, and look to the outside. Father Deitcher, whom I've mentioned before, a Polish priest, said this, "Faith is sharing in God's vision of reality." If you have faith, it is like seeing every day of your life through the eyes of Jesus. Only then will you see the unceasing opportunities for your conversion and sanctification. Then, in the light of faith, you will also begin to understand that suffering is a cross and something that will therefore spiritually transform you to the extent that you accept it. If in your difficulties you recognize the cross as an opportunity toward transformation, then your difficulties truly become gifts for you. If you could see all the countless talents that God is continuously giving you, then you would never be sad. Talents such as poor health or situations filled with conflicts or failures would then bring joy to your heart. You say, what? What are you saying? Joy, because God bestows something invaluable on you and shows you exceptional trust. He trusts that you will not bury or reject his gifts. He counts on your faith, since it is only in the light of faith that you can recognize the talents given to you. Ponder that, brothers and sisters. Ponder that. Only a person who has faith is able to be grateful for everything. The gratitude will be visible on your face as joy, for everything may be changed into good. That's what we want, brothers and sisters. That's the kind of faith we want. I want to encourage you, all of you who listen to this program, and myself. Let's pray, for example, let's pray a rosary each day that God increase our faith. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.